You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions expressed can sometimes be accompanied by hand gestures, which your sister may find offensive, but you think are hilarious. There's one in every family. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your top-down, wind-in-your-hair, Saturday morning automotive thrill ride. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, but right now, love us on Zoomer Radio.
Yeehaw!
Good morning, Al.
Did you like the facial expression? Because I always forget that we're actually on video. I thought this is a radio show, but people can look and watch and see how pretty we look.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's 2023. We've got cameras on us,
and
eventually we end up on YouTube looking pretty.
In other words, no privacy anymore.
No.
Is it on the internet?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, internet. Yeah. You look good, too, by the way, on YouTube.
Al looks, he's always well presented.
Oh, I thought you were talking to him. You're talking to me, too?
What are you playing with your microphone like that for?
Well, because I want to make sure that I look good, too.
Yes, you do.
This makes me, you know, and Saturday is usually the lazy day, but now I have to shave and figure out what kind of clothes I'm going to wear on Saturday morning because we're on air. Brian, obviously,
I sell this on my merch store, so.
How is the promoting guy?
And this is a bit of a joke. It was inspired by one of the editors at a very famous magazine that might or might not be called Motor Trend, mm-hmm. who is a very well-known writer, can't drive to save his life.
Right.
And
you're so polite sometimes.
I know. I'm not naming names. But, you know, he's really not great. He's great at writing, but not great at driving. And, you know, he loves to say cars understeer. Well, cars don't understeer by themselves. That actually takes the driver to make it do that.
No. It's the car. It's the setup. It's the tires. It's not the driver.
No, never the driver.
I saw a couple people today coming in on the lakeshore. They had the convertibles were out.
Mm-hmm.
Sunroofs are open.
Yeah.
Everybody's jogging. It's like, you know, you're Canadian when 10 degrees is like, it's get outside. It's summer.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's so true. I was talking to my friends at Mazda this week. They've got a bunch of MX-5s in their fleet this summer. So I've filled the summer with top-down sports car driving.
Is that still in production? They're still making those?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Then they've got the RF, which is kind of a hard top, and then the Roadster, which is my favorite.
Good day for biking, cycling.
And I'm guessing next year they'll announce an electric.
I hope, hopefully not.
Like electric bikes?
Like electric bikes.
Electric MR2. What are they called?
MX5. Yeah, the Miata. Yes.
Oh, speaking of electrics, we got some special guests on the
subtle,
show today.
Huh?
You like that? Very good, Steve.
Yeah, thank you.
We've got, where is she? Virginia Block, who is the head honcho at Amigo Electric Vehicles. They sell all kinds of electric vehicles from a huge different price range, from reasonable entry ones to the really fancy Rolls-Royce of electric bikes,
They do have some fancy things.
And she carries them all in the store, plus accessories. We're going to talk to her a little later. And
of course, we have Maureen Harquail from OnVec on a little bit later.
Yes.
Well, with interest rates still going nuts, she's going to talk about the risks that you take when you're doing some auto financing. If you watch some of the TV spots while the Leafs are choking, losing.
Wait.
Maybe not. They're done. Anyway, it's like it's 92 months. Soon it's going to be over 100 months financing.
Yeah.
And you know, if you take money out for like 50 grand over like 100 months, that car's going to cost you
$100,000.
I like paying for my personal cars in cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. I prefer to do that.
Well, and on top of that, you know, the dealers, because supply is so low and they're not actually making a whole lot of sales, they're adding all kinds of extra stuff, you know, padding the price. So putting it above.
Padding. Nice, huh? Yeah,
padding is being polite.
He's talking to his lawyers, isn't he?
Putting it way above MSRP. And, you know, people want to know, are you allowed to do that? Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And we have a tribute later to Gordon Lightfoot. And I am going to share with you guys a little bit later that Gordon Lightfoot was a genuine car guy, one of my people.
Oh, wow.
This is one of your jokes from last week.
This is not a joke from last week. I've gotten one of those, but no, Mr. Lightfoot was into racing.
Yeah, and I want to thank everybody who's been writing into Facebook for about suggestions for Gordon Lightfoot tune. We're going to play that later on today. So, thanks. After you, Mr. Gelman, with your gray T-shirt.
So hopefully this won't be the wreck, you know.
Oh, don't. Just can't leave anything alone.
Let's have a great one, and we're looking forward to Carlos. Carlos going to be representing Dave's Quarter Garage in the marathon tomorrow. We're looking forward to his performance. He's got a special shirt made up just for the show. This is Dave's Quarter Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in the studio with Alan Gelman and Steve Scheinman. I'm not quite sure why Steve's here, but he's always a welcome voice.
I'll bring you a coffee next week.
And speaking of voices, yes, our voices are on YouTube these days. So these shows end up on our new YouTube channel, which is simply Dave's Corner Garage on YouTube. Really easy to find.
And pictures of us. This is live.
Yeah, it is live. You can watch us on, I think, on zoomerradio.ca as well.
But just so you know, even though they're watching it on YouTube, those are unedited. Those are like us for real.
Yeah, yeah. It's the show as we do it.
And, yeah, remember that time Steve fell off the chair and we were laughing?
I know. We didn't capture the video. We made fun of him, you know,
and we didn't talk about his wine consumption or the night before or anything.
I think there was scotch
involved.
And
then it's still there.
I think they were both involved.
The wheels on the bus fell off today. Here we go.
What did you have before you came in here today?
I'm always excited to come down here, Steve, and I was so excited because you told me you were going to be here. Get on the boots. Anyways, there's a price war going on, I'm told. Ford and Mr. Musk are having odds with each other. What's going on?
Well, Tesla is dropping their prices because they can.
Uh-huh.
Because their business is not sustained on the sale of cars.
Oh.
So their business is, you know, credits for, you know, making EVs and all of that stuff. So that's how their business actually survives.
So they don't have to make money on each car?
No, and they really haven't.
Oh.
On an operational basis, no. So what's happening is they're lowering the prices. Teslas are obviously very, very popular.
Right.
And that's kind of the go-to in the EV market. So our favorite automakers mm-hmm. that are producing EVs, like Ford, for example, with the Mustang Mach-E, which I really enjoy driving, they are under pressure from Tesla's lower prices now. So
I did see that actually their sales dropped by 20% Ford on that vehicle last month. Yeah,
it is an excellent vehicle. Uh-huh. Like it's one of my favorite EVs. And in fact, I'm driving one today.
Oh,
and
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and you couldn't tell. The thing is, I love these. So this one is the anti-virtue signaling EV. It looks like a Genesis.
That's what
SUV.
I thought it was when we came in the parking lot.
Yeah, it looks like a regular Genesis, but no, it's 100% electric.
Oh, but did they change the styling?
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
Okay.
You couldn't tell it's an EV until you drove it.
look at his face.
Well, no, but it does not look like a Mach-E.
No, this is a Genesis.
Oh, okay.
Genesis. Check his water. Check
his
water.
I was still on the Ford page.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
Isn't Ford, speaking of Ford, aren't they now moving to where you can buy it direct? And they're going to start bypassing dealerships.
They're doing
it in the States already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if you have a dealership, it's like, oh, thank you.
Right.
It's crazy. So you're going to, like Genesis, you can buy it. This is years ago. You could buy it online and they deliver it to your house.
Yeah. And it's still the same. They've sustained that. So I know several people who purchased Genesis and they, you know, simply, you know, what Genesis does is they allow you to buy the car mm-hmm. any way you want. So if you want to buy it by text, you can do that.
Right.
But when it comes to service, what they do is they bring you the same model. They take away your car. They service it. They bring it back. You never have to visit a dealer if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like to, so they've started to.
Don't you want to sit in the car, though?
Well, for a test drive, they'll bring it to you as well. They'll leave it with you. There's no pressure.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. And with respect to manufacturers moving away from the dealer model, Volvo has also stated they are absolutely 100% moving away from the dealer model.
So why is it, do you think, that some of these dealerships, the ones that have been established, are knocking down their old showrooms, and they're building these massive showrooms? If the trending is going that way to buying it online,
mm-hmm.
are they just buying it for the real estate or what?
Well, there's some of that, but there are also some brands. You know, for example, a lot of premium brands, people do like visiting the dealership because it's, you know, it's like going to a high end retail store. It's that
I like
kind of
sweating when I go in there. Here comes the pressure.
Yeah. Well,
that's, you know, gone though. It's going.
It's going. And you know, what's funny in the States is supply has caught up, and there are cars. When I visit the States, there are cars on dealer lots everywhere. So it hasn't happened here yet.
Well, the other thing that's going along is a ton of amalgamation where you're having these huge dealer groups buying all the little guys.
Yes.
So, you know, we're going to have one huge store. We don't need to have five in the city, right?
Right.
And now as well. I remember years ago when I worked for Volkswagen, they were pretty stuffed. You could not bring in any other kind of product on your property, where in the States, you know, you'd see the same, you know, say under the same hat. There could be German cars, Japanese cars, be all kinds of stuff. They had better.
It's America.
Well, that's the way they used to do it. It's less so now because they're like having their own dealer experience. And I think the agreements that manufacturers have with the dealership is that, or the dealer group, is they want their standalone stores, especially on the premium side. But I you know, in the old days when I traveled through the States, it was fun seeing a Buick store with a Volkswagen store at the in the same under the same roof.
Yeah, and you kind of wonder how that must kill. Like for example, GM had their entry level cars or small, you know, econo cars. How are you going to sell one of those if a guy can buy a Tercel?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah,
really wreck you. Yeah. But I want to know, if you get a Genesis, can you pick between Peter Gabriel or Phil Collins to deliver it?
That's a good question.
Because that would make my day. I'd almost buy one if one of those two guys
so
could come.
If that happened, would your land lie down?
On Broadway.
Okay.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. A bunch of music freaks here, eh? Car buffs too. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gellman and Steve Shumman. Not quite sure why Steve is here, but
he's lying already.
So, Al, what's going on at the shop this week? Like, are people done with their summer tire changeovers?
No, I don't think. I'd like to think we're halfway. You know, people are still calling, going, you know, I was thinking about changing my tires.
Uh-huh.
Well, you should have been thinking about it weeks ago.
I called and
come in tomorrow? No, you can't come in tomorrow.
I can't come in until next week now.
I mean, I was kind of glad that we got those plus 20 days a couple weeks back because because people need that kick in the butt. Otherwise, they're not doing it.
Exactly.
And then I had to try to placate them and say, they're not going to melt, okay? You can go an extra couple weeks. It's not that big an issue, you know, especially it's granny who's driving the milk store.
Granny?
I'm talking about the people who have very limited use of their vehicle.
I see.
Where they're only putting on, you know, 2 miles a week, or you're not going to ruin your tires in that length of time.
No, they're not going to get hot enough to even worry about it.
Right. I mean, you know, which compound are you running this week, you know?
Exactly.
Is the yellow ones, the green ones, or the red ones, you know?
I got to say, I joke about, you know, people coming to my house and I'll do tire changes for them for a really expensive rate. I've seen little posters on telephone poles in my neighborhood. Some dude is actually doing it, probably out of the trunk of his car.
Well, you know what? I had a call yesterday from a guy, and the first thing I do is I check my database to find out the last time he's been in because, you know, I'm going, well, if he's a regular guy, of course I'm going to try to get him a little bit sooner. But if he's a one-time only or I've never seen him, well, sorry, bud, you're going to just have to wait, right?
Mm-hmm. And he didn't tell me that.
we have this rating scale.
Yeah, thank you very
much. You're on the scale, though. You know, I'm not going to say where, but you're on the scale.
That's good.
So he had some, you know, weird little problem, and I thought, well, I'd love to help you after I realized I didn't really know who he was. Anyways, I said, you got to understand, we're busy with tires right now. You know, everybody I call is telling me the same story. The other issue, of course, is staffing. You know, to find people who want to take entry-level jobs and work and show up every day. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a relative last night who owns a McDonald's, and he said, it's the worst. He says, kids these days, you know, they come in and we give them a uniform and, you know, they wake up one morning and go, yeah, I don't feel like going in today. Where's the responsibility, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's pretty bad. So like I say, most of the people in the blue-collar industry are hurting for staff. And we are understaffed, besides the fact that, of course, the supply chain issues are still there as well. You know, I've been checking on website looking for tires, and it's like, hang on. There should be 8 options in this size, but all I see is 2, you know.
Hmm.
So it's still pretty rough out
there. So I don't see you till next week. I got bumped again.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're not going to complain too much.
So if
it makes you any happier, my wife's winter tires are still on her
don't
car.
Don't bring okay? Deb into this.
I'm just telling the truth. Yeah.
So are you get people who say you got their tires done a month ago, are they coming back to get their lug nuts tightened?
No, they're not. The odd one may ask. I think for the most part, I mean, we're seeing it more often now because more vehicles now have alloy wheels. When cars had steel wheels, it was never discussed. I'd never heard about retorquing. You put them on, you went, and you were good. The problem is with alloy wheels, you get a huge amount of corrosion. They fit differently, and they're made out of different materials.
Yeah.
And so it is necessary, especially if it's an inexperienced, like the guy whose picture is on the telephone pole. Yeah, nice, Roy. You can come by $20 mm-hmm. and put your tires on.
Yeah.
If he's not experienced and doesn't know what he's doing,
yeah.
you're going to have a loose wheel. I mean, and we're seeing all the time.
Yeah.
And it's easy to, especially somebody who's inexperienced. There's so many things you have to understand. And, you know, for example, I've had wheels that have specific lug nuts,
mm-hmm.
And it's the wheel, not the car.
Right. And then, of course, people are changing wheel sizes and stuff for winter. So, you have wheels that are universal wheels that aren't hub-centric, they call it. Mm-hmm. So you have to use centering rings.
Yes.
Okay? It's a little plastic spacer. So you got to know if it has one, because then if you forget to take it off because it's stuck to the hub and then try to put a mag wheel on.
It's not going to fit.
Yeah. And the bolts, your gun or your torque wrench is going to go, okay, I'm at the right amount of torque. But only because it's sitting cockeyed and it's trying to squish the ring underneath.
That's right. I just get nervous on the QEW or wherever with the trucks. You're going by, and they have, if it's a 12-wheeler,
yes.
they've got like 12 different kinds of tires.
And yeah.
Some are spinning a different way. You're going, I'm going to the far lane and getting away from these guys.
Well, the one caveat I'll mention, though, is that if you feel something or hear something that, who knows, could be a loose wheel, guess what? It could be. All right? So don't keep driving. Don't turn the radio louder. Call the guy who did it and say, listen, could I come by because I got something weird going on? And he'll usually say, come on over right away. Don't leave it go. That's it.
Yeah. It's easy.
Don't let the wheels on the bus fall off. That's what, seriously. It wouldn't be kids everywhere. It would be an ugly scene. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and after the break, we've got Maureen Harquail, who's going to be talking all about OnVic and what you need to know.
You're listening to Dave's Corner Garage, brought to you in part by OnVic. No hidden fees or surprise costs. It's the law. Protect yourself from curbsiders. Go to OnVic.ca.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gellman and Steve Scheinman. Again, not sure why he's here. And joining us on the line is Maureen Harquail from OnVic. Now, Maureen, I have to mention something. It was an obvious joke. I saw this on social media, and it was a bit about a gentleman saying he worked really hard to pay off his car lease and then realized at the end of it he didn't own the car. Now, people generally aren't that misinformed, but when it comes to financing, there's a lot to know.
Well, good morning, and absolutely. I mean, we all know that buying or purchasing or leasing a vehicle is your oftentimes your second biggest purchase, sometimes your biggest purchase. So you need to be, I think, have your eyes open before you go into doing that that transaction.
That's right. You don't want it bigger than it needs to be.
100%, and you know, that's all part of the process, is to really have that understanding about the risk associated with financing. So really encouraging Ontarians to do their research about those risks so that they can really maintain their financial plan and stick to a budget.
Now, what are some concerns that consumers are raising when it comes to financing their car these days?
Yeah, so I guess there's a few things. You know, I guess one of the big things, of course, is the impact of taking on a long-term loan. So you obviously have some choice when you go in and you purchase a vehicle, and taking on that long-term loan, you have to really think about whether that's something that's going to work for you.
So the mistake people have been making is that they've been focusing on the monthly as opposed to what the whole package is going to entail. Is that right?
Well, absolutely. And of course, they've also got to think about things like, you know, how much is the person actually going to drive the vehicle? If you're going to have greater mileage on it, that vehicle is going to depreciate way faster, which will hurt the trade-in value at the end. How long are they going to keep the vehicle? So, you know, if you plan on driving the vehicle for a short period of time, it really may not make sense, in fact, to get an extended term loan. And then, of course, depreciation again, how fast will that car depreciate? Certainly that's something the dealer can give you a sense of what the value might be later on, of course, depending on how much you drive that vehicle.
But getting back to it, I mean, I've only got so much to spend. I mean, you know, how do I jiggle those numbers or juggle those numbers so they're going to work for me? I obviously have to go to a longer term. I mean, is there another magic way of doing this?
Well, you may. And I guess that's about, you know, here's what we're recommending for people in Ontario is that before you even walk into the dealership and start talking about financing and the different options available, is go to your financial institution, go to your bank, talk to them about what they can do for you so that you at least have a baseline before you walk into the dealership. And that's really about educating the consumer and really empowering them to have that understanding of, gee, my bank can give me this. Now, Mr. Dealer, what can you do for me? And what options are available? And of course, we encourage consumers, of course, to set a realistic budget that they can afford. Another thing is to know, who your credit application is actually being submitted to. It's regular practice, I think, for dealers to perhaps submit it to a number of different financing institutions. Consumers need to be mindful of that in terms of if it gets submitted too often, that can actually negatively impact your credit score. And then, of course, shopping around for the best rate. That's something that we know that loans that have higher interest rates often provide dealers with something called a reserve or a higher reserve. So consumers just need to be aware of these different things that all feed into financing and ultimately purchasing a vehicle.
But, I mean, at the get-go, would you not want to be negotiating just on the cost of the vehicle itself, you know, before you enter the finance part of it? You know what I mean? Because it's usually a dickering or a horse trading kind of situation anyways, or it was in the past, but now apparently cars are going for over the suggested retail price. But there is some wiggle room, isn't there?
So I guess there's a few things here. And you know, first and foremost, of course, OMVIC is encouraging Ontarians to go and purchase or lease a vehicle from an OMVIC registered dealer. Because if you buy from an OMVIC registered dealer, there'll be certain protections for that consumer if something should go wrong. For example, having the opportunity to perhaps make a claim to our compensation fund if something's happened that isn't right. You know, dealers in Ontario, they also need to abide by the all-in price advertising. So, you know, if a consumer sees a vehicle that's advertised in the media or in the newspaper, they should take that advertisement in with them and say, that's the vehicle I'm interested in at that price, because that's the law in Ontario. Of course, you know, you buy from an OMVIC registered dealer, there's also an obligation on dealers to provide full disclosure of the vehicle's past use or history and condition. And of course, as I said, the access to our motor vehicle dealer's compensation fund can really provide that peace of mind to consumers if there's ever a problem.
What's the maximum now on that compensation?
Yeah, so under the legislation, it's $45,000 is the maximum that a claim can be paid out.
Okay, so that's going to be... Primarily, we're talking about used cars here in this particular case.
I think obviously oftentimes it is used cars, but, mm-hmm. you know, something can sometimes go wrong with a new car purchase as well. And, there's obligations, the same obligations apply on a new car as they do on a used car. And we, for example, you know, in order to even make a claim to the compensation fund, you know, here's a few examples of a consumer could make a claim is that if the dealer failed to remit payment on an extended warranty,
okay.
or maybe the dealer became bankrupt, mm-hmm. and that can be new or used, obviously. So, you know, those are the kinds of opportunities that a consumer might have to make a claim.
Yeah, people call me on extended warranties all the time, whether I'm in favor or not, you know. But obviously, even if it was the best one, if it wasn't registered or paid for, and Buddy doesn't find out until a year after he's bought the car, he's up a creek. But you're saying OMVIC would cover him in those kind of cases.
So listen, there's certainly an opportunity to make a claim, and so long as they meet the criteria, there's an opportunity to at least get compensation for example, as you said, the extended warranty, if that was duly paid but was never submitted, that's certainly an opportunity for compensation.
Now, the all-in pricing, though, that pertains to, you know, the bottom line, because, again, people have been told they have to take the financing through the dealer. In fact, it blew me away where the people said, I offered the guy cash, and he said, I don't want your cash. You can't pay in cash, and you have to pay the price according to the financing.
Yeah, so listen, I mean, at the end of the day, the consumer really does have the ultimate power, which is to walk out. If the deal isn't what they want and it's not in a manner in which that they're comfortable with, then they should go elsewhere and see if someone else will work with them to make a deal that works for them.
Right.
You know, these are difficult times. We know that supply is still short or limited in certain manufacturers. We know used car prices have gone up. It's a very difficult market up there, but ultimately, you know, the consumer has the ultimate power, which is to walk out.
Yes, and to do it beforehand, because the other point that you brought up earlier was the cooling off period, eh?
Well, absolutely. In Ontario, and a lot of Ontarians don't know this, but we do not, I'll repeat, do not have a cooling off period in Ontario. So once you sign that contract, it is a binding agreement, a binding contract, and really the dealer doesn't have to walk away, you know, doesn't have to do anything. It's a binding agreement. I mean, I've also heard some really good stories, though, about dealerships where, you know, a consumer comes back and thinks that the deal just isn't right, or they've recalculated and the financing just isn't going to work, or they feel they've made a terrible mistake. And, you know, I hear some really good stories from dealers and consumers that say, you know, the dealer worked with me, and while I didn't buy car A, he got me or she got me into car B. So, you know, I think there's certainly an opportunity there where I think if you have a good relationship with your dealer that they're going to want to keep you as a customer. But again, there's no obligation for the dealer to do that.
And don't forget to look for the blue and yellow sign, right?
100%. You know, there's a blue and yellow decal. You can also, consumers should also, if they have any doubts, they can also ask the salesperson or the dealer to provide their OMVIC registration number. And they can also go on our website and search to make sure that that dealer or that salesperson is actually registered for us. Because if the dealer or the salesperson isn't registered with us, there may not be any protections available to the consumer.
Maureen, what's the website for OMVIC?
So it's OMVIC, OMVIC.ON.ca. And our number is 1-800-943-6002.
Right, and check it out. They got some great videos. You know, there's so many things that people don't know, and you can watch them, and you can have someone else ask the dumb questions and start laughing. Go, who would ask a question like that? But it's full of great information, right?
Absolutely. We certainly encourage consumers to come to us before they even walk into the dealership.
Exactly. Way easier to get help beforehand than
Absolutely.
To figure it out afterwards. Thanks, Maureen. Have yourself a great weekend.
Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. And for people who are thinking about bicycles rather than cars, who do we have next?
We've got Virginia Black from Amigo, and they're here downtown, and they've got some cool bicycles that are electrically assisted.
Gee, Amigo of yours?
I've never met Virginia.
Oh, well, we could. It's always fun making new amigos.
That's right.
All right, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gellman. And again, Steve Scheinman's here. Not sure why, but joining us on the phone is...
Sad. He's just really vindictive.
I could have locked you out of the studio, but I didn't.
Well, Steve's doctor told him he needed a little bit more, you know, exercise. So he came in. He thought maybe he'd get a special deal from Virginia Block.
Well, you know, this is the thing. For a gentleman like Steve, one of Virginia's bikes makes a lot of sense. Hi, Virginia.
Hello.
I guess the good part is you actually move. It's not a stationary bike. Is that right?
Yeah, you can be outside in the sunshine and exploring your city, exploring trails.
So you have bikes, of course, that are city bikes, and you have a bike that's, let's call it like a BMX kind of bike?
Oh, interesting question. We have 20-inch folding wheels, but not necessarily BMX bikes. BMX bikes are more, people do it more like for fun and they do tricks. Like our bikes are more for transportation, so they get people from A to B.
All right. Now, you did mention, I watched a great video. You got a gorgeous store there, I must say.
And you've
added a new showroom. You've got even more space, eh?
So we have, two retail outlets in Toronto, one right downtown in the Queen West neighborhood, and then one just south of Yorkdale. And, yeah, we sell online and have more electric bikes in stock than I'm sure any other dealer in Canada.
Now, this isn't your first time around the block. Nudge, nudge. You've been doing this for a long time. When did you start?
That joke would have thrown me off too. I started the company in October 2010. So I was, one of the pioneers in the industry and really started at a time where no one knew what an electric bike was and what it was all about. And it was difficult. It was challenging. But now almost everyone knows and they're like, oh, I've tried that. It's amazing. And the attitude and perception of electric bikes has really evolved.
Well, you have three different kinds of users or buyers, you said. Maybe you want to explain what those three different people are.
Yeah, so one of the largest, we're in Toronto. Like, the main part of our business is downtown Toronto, and most people buy them to commute.
Okay.
They use them so you can get exercise on the way to work. You save gas. It's good for the environment. A lot of times it saves time and, it helps with infrastructure. So commuters are a big part. And then second, I'm sure most people by now have ordered Uber Eats and various food delivery services. So we actually partnered with Uber Eats in 2016. Uber Eats was actually started here in Toronto too, which people might not know. And when delivery riders could deliver on an electric bike, they were able to deliver twice as long. Three times as long because of the assistance from the battery. They didn't have to worry about parking, getting tickets, and we have some delivery riders who've actually put on 250,000 kilometers on one bike. Like, that's that much usage off of having a delivery person in a car. So it's really great. And that business is also not seasonal. So when we partnered with Uber Eats, it really transformed my business. It made it where we were busy all year round instead of just when the recreation rider or the commuter ride more in fair weather. So that was really great. And they're a large part of our business. And then the third is more the recreation rider, where they're getting the electric bikes to get out to have exercise, to go explore, to use on weekends. Some of them do use it to run errands, and they use it for fun.
That's more my style. What I do appreciate about electrically assisted bikes is that you can ride further, you can ride longer than you would otherwise.
Yeah, that's the real key, and that's what people don't realize is with that electric bike, you're not limited. Like, you can go out and you can ride 100 kilometers in a day. Our store manager, every year, he takes his electric bike and he rides it all the way to Niagara Falls and all the way back. and he can do that in a day. Like, it's just outstanding what you can do and how you're not limited. Yes, most riders won't want to go that far distance. That's a little bit much for me too, but it's really you're not afraid to get on that bike and go that far distance, to go down to Scarborough Bluffs, to go up really steep hills. Like, you have those options.
A question, you know, we see people are buying cars that are electric now, and of course the thought is range anxiety. Maybe you can explain, how long will a battery technically, you know, a full up charge, if you're running it on that only on a bike, could you drive it for a whole week, or you'd have to plug it in nightly?
Oh, yeah. You, like, it depends on how far you are going, but the average electric bike now, you can get 100-kilometer range, and that's something that we really specialize in, is larger batteries, more efficient bikes, and some of our bikes have 300-kilometer range, more than some cars. Mm. And if you run out of battery, you can cycle. So you don't have to have as much range anxiety.
Well, good. And again, you have a website?
I sure do.
And what would it be?
It's AmigoEVforElectricVehicles.com.
Great. And two locations in the city, and the phone number?
416-907-4922.
All right, Virginia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, and don't forget, you need the clip, eh, so your pants don't get caught in the chain. That happened to me, you know. My mom
told... What year did that happen to you?
Well, it was a long time ago, and I was wearing a suit. I got in so much trouble. Oh, my God.
Oh, did the chain come off, dear?
No, it didn't, but I had holes in my suit. It's terrible.
Oh, God.
But no, I'll go electric next time. I don't have to worry about the chain. Virginia, thanks again. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, too. Take care.
I haven't seen a clip in years.
They have all that and accessories. And a thing for your head, so you don't bang it. Well, you're going to bang it, but at least you won't get hurt, right?
Who's he talking to right now?
I'm not sure.
Gotta go. We'll
He's
be
off
right
on
back.
A tangent. I'm worried about him. Lie down and tell us about it.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman and Steve Scheinman, and I've been working on racing all week and learned something new. I've been buying my drivers and teams the fireproof overalls.
Yeah.
You know what they wear underneath the fireproof overalls?
Nothing?
No, they do.
Oh,
Jesus.
They wear Speedos.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Was this the joke?
It's another dad joke.
Oh, yeah. God.
No, so, seriously, about racing, I learned something this week. This week, obviously, the passing of Gordon Lightfoot, but he was one of my people into racing. He actually supported John Graham in 1982 in the Can-Am Championship.
Really?
Yeah.
62?
82.
Oh, okay.
82.
Okay.
I
was thinking at 62, he didn't have no money yet. He was still, you know, cutting grass and Aurelia for people.
So Can-Am was one of those big things at that time.
Yes.
So in 1982 in Can-Am, Al Unser Jr. was kind of the dominant driver. Danny Sullivan was there before he won the Indy 500. All kinds of people. And Gordon Lightfoot was supporting Canadian driver John Graham.
Did he... was the car emblazoned with his
Lightfoot across the side of the car?
Oh, wow. I never knew that. Yeah. And apparently Bernie, his manager, was a car guy too. Bernie Finkelstein. I don't know what he had. And I saw an article, as a matter of fact, written by our friend. What's his name? Forgot his name. Sorry.
Your friend.
The wheel section.
Norris.
Yes. Where Norris, and this is from 2 years ago, where Norris wanted to change the name of Massey Hall. And he wanted to emblazon it with Gordon Lightfoot's name. This is 2 years ago.
He always played for a full week. So he was going to be on the Carefree Highway.
Well, I'll admit a little bit that Gordon Lightfoot was a little bit ahead of my time, but still a great song.
Oh, absolutely.
Did so many great things. There was a story that with the Edmund Fitzgerald, that the head of the harbor in Detroit this week rang the bell 39 times, which is kind of cool.
No, that was actually, it was 30. It was 29 times for every person on board.
Yes, dear.
Adding one to Gordon. Gordon was the 30th.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool.
Very nice.
I did. And now he's on the Carefree Highway to the Pearly Gates, unfortunately.
Yep. And, he was a great guy. And it's going to be...
It would be nice if they changed Massey Hall's name, you know.
Well, it was, because he would always do a week in May or sometime in the summer, and that became a tradition.
Well, Norris's line was, who the heck does anybody know who Massey was? Right, because he was the farm implement company, Massey Harris or Massey Ferguson. That's where the Massey came from. He's, a lot more people know Gord. So let's name it after Gord.
How come he's making Norris a Newfoundlander?
I love Norris. I can't argue with that.
No.
All right.
I think it may actually push that they may try and get it changed to Lightfoot Hall. Wouldn't that be great?
Sure.
Why not do it?
Sure. I want to thank Maureen Harkwell from Omvik. Make sure you do your homework before you get ripped off. That's what you got to do. You know, look at how much I'm paying per month. Yeah, but you're paying that forever.
Yeah, for 9 years. That's not good.
So you want to do that. And again, if you're thinking about exercise or you need a cheaper mode of transportation, check out Virginia Block Store, Amigo Electric Vehicles.
You going to put on your Speedo?
No, I don't drive the race cars. Only on I don't race the race cars.
I see.
I do have a racing suit.
I don't Speedo. I stick to the limit.
Oh. Yeah.
Gotta go. Thank you, Carlos. See you next week. Bye-bye, everyone.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.